Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie, and this is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hi guys. Welcome to Off Script. We haven't done this in a while.
I know.
This feels weird again. Welcome to Off Script. I'm Allie.
And I'm Bree.
And this is the podcast that compares books and movies.
Yeah. What's that? Are they the same? Are they not?
Who can tell? We can.
No one else.
Nope. You think you can? You can't. You gotta get a podcast first.
Yeah. And that's so hard to do.
Be cool like us. So guys, today we are doing Secret Window. But it's not called Secret Window, the book.
No, it's not. Because Secret Window is technically a novella, guys. And so it's one of four short stories in Four Past Midnight.
So the book is called Secret Window, Secret Garden. The movie's just Secret Window.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies. One of my favorite books.
I enjoy it a lot.
Got Johnny Depp in it.
I know. We
both did. Watch this movie before we read it.
Yeah.
Because someone was obsessed with him. Don't know who.
Who could that be?
No idea.
Who forever ago?
I was just watched this movie.
Forced to watch this movie in high school.
Probably once a week.
Back when I did not watch scary movies at all.
Yeah. And you're like, no, you have to watch this one.
It wasn't scary.
It was for someone who doesn't watch scary movies.
Yeah, after your first time, it wasn't, though.
Well, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just excited to get to talk to you guys about Johnny Depp.
The whole time.
Officially. Yeah. And not as a side tangent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Johnny Depp, we went to Comic-Con and we saw some Jack Sparrows dressed up.
Did we?
I'm trying to do a segue because we totally skipped Comic-Con.
I know. I was surprised you went right to Secret Window. I was like, what about Comic-Con? I guess we're not.
So, guys, last time we recorded was right before Comic-Con, and now it's been
a couple weeks
past Comic-Con. So, Allie, how was your first Comic-Con?
Dude, it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
We met the OG Steve from Blue's Clues. You guys.
If only we knew his last name.
Burns.
Oh, there you go.
I think
you're right.
I think I'm right.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
He's so nice, and he, I'm just glad my childhood wasn't shattered by meeting him, because it was awesome.
I had a feeling it would be, or wouldn't be.
I was like, oh, no. Yep, and then I met Felicia Day,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, she's a very popular actress, but I know her from Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And then who'd you get to meet?
I met Chris Eccleston, surprisingly.
For those who don't know.
Did I talk about it?
Yes. For those who don't know, that's the doctor from Doctor Who that Bree spoke about hating. And then she's like, I'm going to go meet him.
No, I have to explain.
Yes.
So I went all 4 days. And there was not a whole lot of panels or people that I super wanted to meet. I don't even remember why. Or how I found out that Eccleston was doing a panel. Because I literally found out day of about his panel. And I was like, what? I'm not going to a Doctor Who panel with Doctor Who. Because every other time at Emerald City Comic Con, whenever Matt was scheduled to be there or Tennant was scheduled to be there, they always do Doctor Who panels, but they never have them with the people. I was also like, why didn't they put Rose in that panel? She was there. He went from doing duo photo ops with her to the panel. Why didn't she join? But anyway, Oh, whatever. I see. So there's panels, but usually the cast members aren't even in those panels. They just talk about Doctor Who without them.
Yes. Oh, that's weird. I know. So I never go to those because I'm like, if you're bringing out the Doctor, yeah, I'll go and watch you. Or like, if you bring out someone who's worked on it or something like that, yeah, I'll go. But I don't want to sit there because a lot of times too, because there's a lot of Doctor Who comics. So a lot of times it's about those. And I'm like, I don't read the comics, so whatever. So I went to Eccleston's panel, honestly, just for Sierra. Like, I was like, Sierra, this is her doctor. I'll take pictures and send them her way. And I'm just going to sit here and meh with him. And then he was just very real. And like, he just said things where I was like, wow. Like, he wrote a book that was dealing with his dad's dementia, like before his dad died. And he got real with that. He got real. Someone asked him about the Marvel movie. And he was like, it was shit. Because he was in Thor, Dark World or whatever. I can't remember. Was he? He's the bad guy in one of the Thor movies. Yeah.
One of the ones that I've seen or one of the...
No, one of the original ones. Like one of the first ones. Hold on. I wish I was Sierra right now. She would know. She's yelling at me if she listens.
If she listens.
I know she's downloaded us. Yeah, it's in the Dark World.
Is that the second one?
Yeah. He doesn't even look like himself. Here, let me. Guys, for those of you listening, go look up Chris Eccleston in Thor.
And you'll know what we're looking at right now.
He's this dude.
Oh, okay.
And so he got asked about it. And he was like, that movie was shit. I hated it. I should have turned it down. I can't believe I accepted it. And everyone was kind of like, what?
Why?
And he was like, apparently the role was supposed to go to Benedict Cumberbatch, which is hilarious because now... Oh, is it Batch? Whatever.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Whatever.
Well, I don't know.
He's used to this by now.
Yes. Cucumber patch.
Exactly. But he turned it down. So then they went to Chris, gave it to him, and he was like, yeah, sure, this will be cool. But then he hated it because he had to sit and make up for like 6 hours a day. He only got a few lines and was like, the whole entire script was shit.
Oh, no. I really liked that movie.
I was dying. I was like, wow, he's getting real. Like, right? What? And then...
Especially at a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Crashing a superhero movie.
Yeah. I was so floored. I was like, dang, dude. You go. And then he... Not even being my doctor. And Rose is not my companion. I can't stand Rose. Amy is where it's at. Amy and Rory. But... They kept asking, like, if you could be, like, any other doctor, who would you be? If you could have any other companion, who would be your companion? If your doctor had to choose a different companion to travel with, who would your doctor travel with? Every time he was like, I would be my doctor. Like, that's my doctor is who I want to be. Like, that's what I portrayed. That's what I want to do. And then when it came to his companions, he went, I'm going to say this once and only once. So listen. Rose is my companion. And like everyone cheered and he was like, no, I'm being serious. She is my companion. Like that's who is my companion. I was like, okay, I guess you won some points.
That's cute. But yeah, guys, wait till you see this photo of Brie hugging him. She's like,
My mom goes, it looks like he's your boyfriend.
Oh no. Because she is, like, the happiest, like, I've ever seen her in a picture. Oh, my gosh.
I was so excited. Well, first off, I had it in my head because we had just talked about Tom Felton not giving me a hug. And I was like, watch him not say yes to a hug because I asked for a hug. So then he said yes. So then I was all like,
yay, he said yes.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I kind of, like, the girl behind me, it was so hilarious, guys. Allie was freaking out about going and meeting Steve. And I told her, I was like, it'll be fine. Just watch me. I'll take the lead on this. I was shaking so bad when we met Steve.
I had to take the over and I'd be like, hey, Steve, because we brought props. And I wanted him to hold our notebook and everything.
Like, please close with us.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so bad. I couldn't even talk to him.
So then I was petrified to meet Alicia. Holy cow.
But then there was a girl behind me with Chris who this was her first
like celeb, her first Comic-Con, all of it. And I was like, because they started taking people back and she was like, oh, shoot, it goes quick. So I said what I said to you, and I said, you just have to make your moment. Like, yeah. If you want to talk to them, talk to them. They're going to rush you, but uh-huh. you have to make your moment. And she was like, oh, okay, good to know. And then she was like, do you think he'll, like, pose with me? I'm thinking of just doing, like, the companion, like, back-to-back pose. And I was like, just watch me. I plan on asking for a hug. If he says yes to that, he'll probably say yes to anything. And she was like, you can ask them for hugs? And I was like, I mean, why not? I was like, you might get turned down, but... And she was like, oh. And I was like, if you see him say yes to a hug with me, go for it. And she was like, good idea.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyways, that long tangent was Comic-Con was good.
Yeah.
We had fun. We were
a blast.
Loki and Sylvie.
Yeah. Yep.
We were supposed to have a huge group go with us.
Our group sucks.
And they all...
They don't listen to us either. Oh, yeah.
So they really do suck. So they all left. So we were supposed to have all the variants of Loki. Mm-hmm. And then only us showed up.
This was literally like 4 days before my birthday. And so I was like, guys, we're going to go and have a huge birthday bash. And I want to be Loki in all the variants.
And they were like, okay.
Absolutely. Like everyone planned out which Loki they were going to be. And then...
No one showed up.
Just me and Allie.
So fine. We rocked it.
Yeah, we did. But yeah.
Anyways.
And then I also went to the Mummy panel and the She's All That. Those were both good, too.
Yeah.
Made me even bigger fans of Brendan Fraser. And,
oh, my gosh. And I'm like, is crying. At
I cannot wait to see that movie.
I know. It's so good.
I am excited. I don't even know anything about it, but after watching him at Comic-Con.
It's about a teacher.
I know that he said that obese people are the strongest people he knows after wearing the prosthetics for so long.
Wow.
Because his body was just so beat up from it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah. So Comic-Con was a blast.
Yes. But anyways, so that was our Comic-Con update for you because I know you all were dying to listen to that.
Oh, and we got really cool car. Allie got a cool car decal and I got a lot of cool car decals.
Which we posted in the last episode, because we talked about it in the last episode.
And you guys already saw them.
Yes.
Hey, we just said that we wanted them in the last episode.
That's true. And we got them. So, guys, it is October now. We know that. Spooky season.
Woo!
But October is also special for me because... Special? Unique? I don't know. Special, I get. I don't know. So Cameron got in his accident on the 29th, and his mom came up with this really good idea to kind of honor him, and Cameron was obsessed with socks. He, like, it was, I don't really know why, because, like, he, if there was a hole in his sock, he would just be like, and just, like, tear it in half. And I was like, dude, we have no money. He's like, I can't have socks with holes in them. And I was like, oh my gosh. But he loves socks.
Do you keep socks with holes?
If I'm poor. We were poor at this time. I was like, what the heck? And so, anyway, so he, like, loves socks. He would ask for birthday money and then buy socks. Or he would ask for socks for his birthday. I don't know. He just eats socks. And so... His mom came up with this great idea for kind of a charity thing, charity, mm-hmm. to raise socks for the homeless population because that is the number one requested item in homeless shelters is socks. So all of October, we're doing a collection of socks or money to raise money to purchase socks. And we would love it if you guys wanted to contribute. So if you do,
I know a lot of you are our friends, so reach out to your respective person and we can get you the information. And for those of you who don't know us,
you can Venmo at Cameron's Cozy Socks, CameronsCozy. SOCKS. Because I would need help spelling, so I'm going to help spell it for you. So yeah, we'll be posting that on our social media.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love for you to go on and donate.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should have spoke about this last week because that was the first week in October. But you know what?
We
didn't think of that. Better than never. So that's my little...
for the remainder of October.
Yes, we'll plug it for the rest of October. Yeah. It's my little shameless plug.
Now we're on to the... Yeah, I was going to say the good stuff, but who knows if this is good.
We're on to the story, the book, the comparison, the point of the podcast.
Yeah, not us just chit-chatting.
Yes. We like to keep you updated on our lives. You know what I also didn't do? I didn't paint y'all a picture.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, wow.
My gosh.
Maybe that's why I was thrown off and, like, so awkward in the start of this.
You're right. I didn't... I was just...
You were ready to talk about Comic-Con. You were ready to talk about Johnny Depp.
I was ready to talk about everything, but my poor picture painting for you guys. Don't really got a lot for you. We're in the same room.
Oh my God, you just made that a big deal.
Okay, hang on. Let me think. Okay, so your picture, you guys, is just got back, took the kids to Oregon by myself. We'll talk about more about that in a couple weeks. Yeah, so we haven't recorded a pod in a while, which is probably why we're a little, like,
rusty.
Floozy.
Floozy?
Floopsy. Floopsy?
You what? Called us floozy?
I know, but I'm trying to think of aloof. What is the word? Aloof. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Floofy. Rusty.
I heard you say rusty. But like crazy is the word I was looking for.
Floozy.
Oh no, you guys.
I am not a floozy.
Maybe I was meant to skip the paint the picture today.
Okay. See, we are very rusty.
Yes. And it's not even late. We're recording early compared to normal.
Because summer is over, guys.
So I get my kids to bed because my little girl's about to start school.
Gosh.
No, you guys, I'm so excited. Down to one.
Okay, but where's our picture going?
We are not floozies. We are rusty. Just got back from a trip, so that's why, because it's been a couple weeks since we recorded. We're getting on this really good schedule of, like, recording every week. I'm pretty proud of us.
Yeah.
We're just rusty. That's my picture painting for you guys. Sorry.
Such a beautiful picture.
All right. We've painted the picture. We've gone over our lives. We are ready to begin.
And discuss. Johnny Depp.
Yeah. So.
Guys, I'm excited because Johnny Depp's in this whole movie.
He's actually in this movie.
Yeah, so it's not me just interrupting our comparisons to talk about Johnny Depp or to talk about his, I was going to say trailer, his trial.
Gosh.
God, we are rusty.
All right, we are going to do a spoiler twist warning. Obviously, we talk about the entire book and entire movie, and you know that coming into it. But Brie wanted to preface that this is one of the best twists she has ever read.
Yeah.
Or seen.
Well, I saw the movie first.
Yes.
And so when I saw it, I did not see the end coming. And so if you have not seen this, have not read this, please stop and go. I mean, do yourself a favor. How can you not watch Johnny Depp? Go watch
it. Go do it. So, that's our suggestion. And then come back and listen. Don't just ignore us. Come back and listen. And then you can compare with us.
Well,
unless you haven't read the book. Then you can't really do that.
You could just be like, oh, wow, that is different from the movie.
You can just follow along. It will make more sense. Even though we're trying to make it, you'll be able to follow along pretty easy. But anyways. So, the synopsis. I decided to start copying and pasting from the internet.
Perfect! That's what I thought we were going to do this whole time.
You made me feel so bad for my parallelogram. I almost said
parallelogram. Now we're doing math.
I know. My parallelogram. I did it again.
Oh, my gosh. What's funny is I was about to say, oh, so we won't be able to hear you mess up on your excited synopsis.
Nope, you hear me mess up beforehand. No, I'm about to mess up reading the two sentences. So the synopsis is a man accuses author Mort Rainey of stealing one of his story ideas. Rainey, who is going through an ugly divorce, attempts to prove to his accuser that his own story was published first. But all the evidence to support his argument begins to disappear, along with the people who might confirm his case. That was probably written way better than I could have written it. Thank you, Google.
But also, who is going through an ugly divorce?
He's already divorced,
isn't yeah, he? It's not even like...
No, he's not. Doesn't he have to sign the papers?
In the movie.
Well, maybe this one's from the movie.
There's your first compare and contrast.
Contrast. My...
The book was written by none other than, you guessed it, Stephen King.
What?
Shock.
Director David Kiop.
That's how I would say it. Hey, he wrote?
And he wrote it, too. So we get to be mad at the director
and the writer this time.
Oh, no, we like him better than Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're not supposed to say that yet.
Wow, way spoiler. So our spoiler warning at the start of this was for all of it.
I didn't say what we liked better. I just said we liked the movie better than the book. I said we like him better.
Yeah, but now you just said we like the movie better.
Well, I thought that was implied.
No, I was just about to be like, but all that means is that we just like how he wrote the movie.
Oh, well, then cut that out. All right, so this book, which is, Bree said, a short story in 4 Past Midnight, came out September 24th, 1990. Oh my gosh, that was almost Cameron's birthday. Speaking of Cameron's cozy socks, it came out 6 days after his birthday.
Mm.
Wow. Even more reason to go donate to Cameron Cozy Socks.
Because of Secret Window.
Yes. And the movie came out on March 12th, 2004. So that's a 14-year difference. That's our, besides wow. Wuthering Heights, that's our longest one.
Wow.
I don't think Wuthering Heights is going to be beat.
No, it's not.
140-something years.
There's a few movies that might.
I guess we'll see. All right. So our initial thoughts of the story in itself.
Oh, I was going to say.
Do you have more?
I have a funny story about when it came out.
Oh, okay. Tell.
So I remember when this came out, they don't do it anymore. And I wish they did. They did a sneak preview. Do you remember when theaters would do that movies would do that in theaters? They would pick like random movies and be like, here, we're going to do this at this time, and this one's going to be released, and it's going to be, like, a week before the movie, or two weeks before the movie. Yeah. So this one did this, and it did it the same, like, day as a girly chick flick. And I remember Mom. I was taking Mom to see it. And I was like putting it under the guise of, I thought it was Mother's Day, but obviously not. So it had to be, yeah, because her birthday's March 24th. So maybe I was like, well, go see a movie for your birthday. They're doing a sneak peek for this movie, and I think you really like it.
Oh, no.
And so Mom thought, because the other one that was doing it was a chick flick. And so she thought we were going to see that. And then we got to the theater, and I was like, we're going to see Secret.
Oh, no.
Mom was not happy.
Oh, no, I bet. Does she like scary movies?
Yeah, she'll watch them, but it's not like she's... Yeah, yeah, yeah. We left, and she was like, I don't know why you took me to see this. We should have saw the other one.
Oh, no.
And I was like... She's like, I liked it, but I don't want to see this.
2004. You took her when you were in sixth grade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's nice of you.
I want to see Johnny Depp. No.
All right, so initial thoughts, how do you feel of the story itself overall,
book or movie,
just in general the story?
It's one of my favorites.
Yes,
it's so good.
Yes, I agree. I liked it. I didn't have any issues with it like others.
Is that a new question that you put in?
You agreed to put this in after we were out of Harry Potter when we like started doing Wuthering Heights, like, oh, how do we feel about it? And then
okay,
we've answered this for two books podcasts already.
I think it threw me off because I was like, the story in general, what? I don't know.
So why did we pick this book?
Johnny Depp.
Am I supposed to be like,
spooky season, Stephen King, and then Brie loves her Johnny.
Yeah. It's when I knew that we were doing Stephen King in October, I was like, okay. I almost made Secret Window be before Misery. But
I'm actually shocked you didn't to get me into Stephen King in itself when you already knew I had seen the movie.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that too. I just thought Misery would, because Misery, were you afraid of Misery?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because I had seen the movie in my head. I was like, Misery's not scary. This is the book to get her into it, especially since Secret Window is a short story. Plus, I've made you watch Secret Window how many times? I was about to be like, guess what?
That's what we're doing.
Starting with Secret Window.
So, that's where we're at. So, the movie starts off
beautifully. It does. It's one of my favorite opening scenes.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, by opening scene, I just mean that first shot.
It starts off by...
It goes from black, and you just hear the... of the windshield wipers.
Just like that.
And then it... You see everything, and all you see is Johnny Depp's face right there.
And he is sitting in a car.
I thought you could say, and he's blonde. And I was like, yeah, that hair.
Oh my gosh, you guys are in for a treat.
Good luck.
All right, so it starts, as Bree said, looking at Johnny, and he's sitting outside, or Mort Rainey, I guess we should
use his name. Yeah, yeah, Mort Rainey.
Yeah, sitting outside of a hotel, and he looks pissed.
Well, you can't even broken. See that it's a hotel. You don't know where he's sitting inside. You just know that he's sitting in a car and it's snowing.
Snow. One of the weather elements.
Should I just talk about the movie?
Yes, you do the movie. You do the movie.
So then we just... Oh, wait. Throughout the whole entire movie, Johnny is talking to us. Mort is talking to us. He does a voiceover narration, which is kind of nice because a lot of Stephen King's books are, he writes a lot of first person. So it's nice to get that, inner monologue. Cause a lot of, like in Harry Potter, we never got the inner monologue. Like,
right.
So, he's telling himself to not go in there and to turn the car around, turn it around, go back home and turn it around.
If you guys haven't seen the movie, don't worry, Bree's going to quote the whole thing to you right now.
Just, Jiggle.
Oh, my gosh.
So then he gets out of the car, and he goes into what you now see is a motel. But he bursts into a motel room, and there you don't know it, but, like, from the scene, you can guess that's probably his wife in bed with another man. And so he, like, storms in, yells at them, goes to storm out, stops and pulls out his hair. And then beautiful score starts playing. The camera backs out and it's all doo 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 doo.
It's going to be a 3-hour podcast just because you're going to quote the whole movie.
Twilight's going to be so mad.
Why wasn't I like this with Harry Potter 6?
At all.
Oh my gosh. So now, this is where the book starts, and the movie is pretty close.
The thing with this, our book to movie comparison is going to be...
They're all very
pretty
minor.
Limited, yeah. My first note literally says, too perfect, but small differences.
Yeah, it's true.
Except for one big difference.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But so, now... a stranger in the book, a stranger comes, actually in both, comes.
Oh, you're not going to let me talk about the beautiful shot over the lake where you get the house?
Go for it.
There's a beautiful shot, guys.
Oh, no.
Now, basically, anytime I see a house on a lake, I just think of this movie.
Go for it. Go ahead. Bree came over to record a podcast. Yeah. Wuthering Heights. Yeah. And our bonus episode of Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And I was house sitting. And they are on a lake. And so not only are they, and I'm currently, I was reading this
secret window.
So I'm like, my brain is in spooky lake house mode, right? I think you were reading it that time too.
Yeah. You were ahead of me.
Yeah. And so then they're also doing, what was it called?
Renovations.
And all of a sudden we're playing have this secret window in our head, and then we're playing a spooky game.
It's called Mansions of Madness, guys. It's one of the best games ever.
It's a great game, but it's spooky.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear thump, 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 thump above us, and we're like, what was
especially
that?
All the dogs are behind us, and the stairs leading up to where the noise is made has chairs all aligned on the stairs.
Yes. And the renovations had the whole front, that part of the house, like cut off, basically. Mm-hmm. Opened.
So basically, like, anyone could get in there.
Yes. We were, like, terrified. And then it turns out the cat was just jumping from the roof to the house. But, oh my gosh. It was... He's the sweetest cat ever. But it was terrifying. Oh. So, that just, your lake house reminded me of it. Yes. Okay, so now both the movie and the book... Someone comes up and is like,
you stole my story
in his Mississippi accent. And Mort's like,
I didn't.
I don't know who you are. And so he's like, I know you don't know who I am, but you stole my story. And
you need to fix it.
Yeah. And Mort's like trying to get him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But in the book.
And he's like, yo, here's my manuscript.
Yeah.
Take my manuscript.
In the book, though, he's saying he stole his story and he needs to fix it by putting his name on it, the mm-hmm. correct writer's.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the movie, he didn't really care about getting the correct name. It was
he just wanted the ending fixed.
He ruined his ending, which I thought was funny because...
That's hilarious.
You said that's a Stephen King thing, is everyone believes that the ending is ruined.
Uh-huh. I talked about that in the last one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why I love this. I really think Stephen probably wrote this with that in mind.
So, yeah, he pokes fun of himself. So that's what I liked was that in the movie, he's like, yeah, you need to fix the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the...
But can I just say?
You may.
I agree.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we will. We will.
So that's the main issue in the movie, is the ending's wrong, and the main issue in the book is that he stole the story and didn't give credit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we continue with the book, and that's when Mort starts remembering how he caught his wife cheating. So that they just flipped the scenes mm-hmm. right there.
At this point, too, this is how small the comparisons are going to be, guys. In the book... Mort's animal is a cat named Bump. And in the movie, it's a dog named Chico.
I think that's a pretty big difference, and you'll find out why. And it's just... it's horrible.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, in the book, Mort reads the manuscript and realizes it was the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And his ex-wife, Amy, ends up calling to check on him.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, she calls him also,
mm-hmm.
and they very quickly talk about how he had plagiarized once.
Yeah, she just kind of says, is this like last time?
And that's all you know. That's all you hear. So then some time goes by, and we find out that the man who accused him of stealing a story is named John Shooter. And Shooter comes back to the house, and... they were discussing who wrote the book first. It was written in the 80s. Who wrote it first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then in the movie, though, it was written in the 90s. I found that funny because it was like a 14-year difference, so they accounted for it. They
had to switch that, otherwise that would be... Why is he coming from the 80s?
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. So then...
good catch.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. So then, as we said,
book, new story, movie, fixed ending.
Mm-hmm. All right. So at this point, too, honestly, after their first meeting, Shooter and Mort's first encounter, in the book, Mort does not call the cops.
In the book?
Yeah. Mort tries to handle it on his own. He's like, this is not something that the cops need to be involved with. Like, this is stupid. I can handle it on my own. It's just a guy who's claiming I plagiarized. Whereas in the movie, beautiful Johnny Depp wants to have some backup. I would, too, if I were you.
So he goes to... Did he go to the cops first? He went to the cops first. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to his...
Yeah.
Can't figure out who it is. So then in the movie, Mort ends up having like this nightmare where Shooter's shaking the door to wake him up, when then there's like a school bell sound, and he ends up having a sort of schoolish nightmare. He woke up because Shooter was pounding on the door. And so now Shooter gives him 3 days to... This happened both book and movie. 3 days to get this magazine to prove that he wrote the manuscript first. Because he wrote this story and he had it published in this magazine. 3 years before, 2 years or 3 years before Shooter claims he wrote it. And Shooter is like, no, that's not possible. Like, I wrote it first. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's in this magazine. And he's like, okay, you have 3 days to get this magazine to prove it to me. And then Shooter got a little violent and he like pins Mort against the car because they're talking outside. And, okay. So after they're violent, or Shooter's violent and saying, you know, threatening him, being like, you have 3 days type of thing, Mort has to call Amy because that's where the magazine is, because it's
in their house
and they're separated. That's why he's at the lake house. Uh-huh. And so in the book, right away he tries to call Amy, and in the movie he kind of puts it off. He's like, I don't want to call her.
This is kind of like what we were saying in the synopsis. It's because in the movie their divorce isn't a good one, it's a bad one. They're not even officially divorced yet. Like, throughout this whole entire movie, she's like, oh, Mort, you need to sign the papers. Whereas in the book, they're divorced.
Yeah.
It's happened forever ago.
Yes. And so he calls her, but she doesn't answer. And so then, or there was a busy line. And so he assumes that she's talking to Ted, who is the boyfriend that mm-hmm. he caught them cheating mm-hmm. on. And so in the movie, he just doesn't want to call her.
Yeah. He's a very depressed man in this movie. He likes to take all the naps in the world, and he sits around in his robe.
That blonde, dirty hair.
Yeah. In those cute little glasses.
This is Johnny Depp's cutest movie. I think he's the cutest in it.
Really?
I do.
I don't know which one I think he's cutest in.
He looks good in Pirates, too, but it's for a different reason.
Yeah, he looks rugged.
He looks good in Secret Window because he looks like a normal person.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I love me baby Johnny Depp, too. Like, Benny and June.
Mm. Oh, he's cute.
What's
in that
Eating
one
Gilbert
too.
Grape? Oh, did you know that's a book?
Oh, there we go. Surprise, it's not on our next year list yet.
I know, because I don't know how you'll like the book, so I'm...
Oh, yeah. All right, so he ends up taking a nap. Oh, did you answer which one he's cutest in, or you don't know? You want to think about it?
Think about it.
Okay.
You continue.
We'll get back to that juicy bit of gossip.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Cutest Johnny Depp movie.
What if I came out like Sweeney Todd, Edward Scissorhands?
That's kind of what I was waiting for. All right. So in both book and movie, he ends up taking a nap. In the movie, he has a nightmare that he's, like, floating in the air and he falls off the couch into, like, the ocean. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the book, he had a nightmare that him and Shooter were in a classroom and Shooter starts throwing oranges at him. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they were blood-red oranges, blood oranges. But still,
Okay. Okay, Stephen King. You do you.
I wrote that I liked the dreams because it was good foreshadowing.
Yes, that's why I wrote them down.
Yeah, it's just really, I almost wish that the movie had a little bit more of the dreams, but it...
It's because they didn't do the...
I was going to say, it's because it's hard with the twist that's coming up because you don't want to give too much away. Mm-hmm. But in a book, you can kind of get away with it.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he woke up in the book, he was looking for his cat, Bump, as Bree said. And as he's looking for him...
Do you have your cutest, Johnny?
I do.
And it's one of my favorite movies.
Say it. I think I know what it is.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh. What one did you think?
I was looking at you as you were scrolling, and I saw Crybaby.
I do love Crybaby, too. But no, I love... Nightmare on Elm Street, because it's also his first role. And so it's it's, no! 21 Jump Street!
I was going to say, that was it. Okay.
That's cutest Johnny Depp.
I love that he cameos in the new one.
That's the best part.
The new one that came out how many years ago?
Right? let's just... I went through like 6 different movies for my cutest Johnny Depp.
You did.
If that helps anyone. Okay, sorry. Continue.
I made Brie a poster for one of her birthdays, and it was like all these Johnny Depp pictures.
I do remember. Guys, I used to put posters on my ceiling, and I put Johnny Depp so that I could go to bed to him every night.
My gosh. She's only a little crazy, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I hope he never hears this.
What if he does and then he contacts us because he's like, she just fainted.
Okay. So he wakes up and he goes to find his cat, Bump, in the book.
Oh.
And there he is.
We're already to hear. I really wanted to do my... Right before he goes to bed... To this, he is laying on the ground playing with Chico in the movie. This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and I was really sad that it's not in the book because obviously it's a cat in the book and no one does this to their cat. But he's laying on the floor with his dog, and the dog like gets up to leave him to go outside, and he goes, "Chico, don't be discouraged," to try and get him back, and then he doesn't come back. He's like, "You blind bastard."
So,
and then he dies.
Hey, I didn't get there yet.
There you go.
Then he goes to sleep. Then he wakes up and he goes to find his cat. And he finds that his cat has a screwdriver stabbed through him. But in the movie, it's his dog. Worst movie book change I've ever heard of, ever.
But
let the cat die. It's don't hurt the puppies.
It'll elicit a reaction like what you just had.
I know, but
no one gets sad about cats.
No, because why? Cats are ugh. Sorry if you're a cat person. I do not like cats.
Bring the cat over here.
I am allergic to cats, as you guys have heard. Cats are cute. I will say that, but
I love me a good cat.
I would snuggle a puppy all day. Cat, I have no reaction to cat death. I was reading the book. I was like, oh, that's how they should have kept it in the movie, because I don't care. I'm going to get so much hate for this. I know. I know I am.
All right. So on this dead animal, cat or dog, there was also a note that says, "You have three days. And so then in the movie, things take off.
Yeah, things start going crazy. So, his dog's dead. So now he goes to the police. I was like, excuse you. Wait, he goes to the police now?
He still doesn't go to the cops in the book.
Okay, I think I just jumped the gun, guys, on saying the whole cop bit. Because now he goes to the cops. In the book, he's still like, nah, I can handle this. He just killed my animal. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So he tells them about Shooter, but they're kind of just like,
the one cop in town, or okay, so I'm assuming when I watch this movie, it feels like a small town mm-hmm. where the lake house is, and like everyone knows everyone, and it feels like there's only one cop in this town because this is the only cop that you see. Obviously, there's probably more cops, but they're probably doing something. And this cop is like your old dude who wants to just eat a donut and drink his coffee and not deal with things. So he hears the name John Shooter and is like, that name doesn't ring a bell. So Mort's feeling discouraged and is like, well, shit. Like,
don't be discouraged. That was good. Thanks.
So he goes and gets a private investigator.
I don't know. We don't know what it is. We couldn't figure out if it was his lawyer. He goes and gets someone. Oh,
it's this guy.
We couldn't figure out if it's his private investigator, a lawyer,
or his agent.
There's this some guy
named Ken in the movie who does not exist in the book.
Yes.
He replaces two different characters from the book named Greg and Herb. Greg is his agent and Herb is an old neighbor dude. Mm-hmm. And Ken's character kind of does something that each character does in the book.
Yeah.
Like, each character in the book has a specific role, and this guy just does both each of them. Yeah. But I thought Ken was his agent because he's who he goes to get the magazine.
He could be, but then he started talking about hourly rate, and that doesn't seem like something an agent would talk about.
Oh, that's true. I kind of assumed they charge by the hour because I've never had an agent. I've never had an agent.
Hey, do you want to sponsor us?
Do you
is that what sponsor agents us? Do?
No. If you want to be our agent,
there you go.
Sponsor us as they're paying us.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, are you an agent? Do you want to sponsor someone?
Do you want to pay us, please?
Okay.
So he went out to New York. Is it in New York?
Yeah.
Okay, he went out to New York to talk to his agent, or Ken, whoever this guy is. And then on his way he was supposed to go to Amy's and get the magazine, but he ends up just sitting there and looking at it for a while and then drives home.
And then he has that memory about their morning.
Yes.
I think he doesn't get the magazine because it's too painful.
Yeah.
Again, so it's the whole bad divorce.
So he has a memory or flashback of when they got the house and they were moving in, mm-hmm. and it was such a good memory.
He was making a joke that he was her prostitute.
Okay.
Or her escort, I should say.
Yes.
Her male escort.
And so, yeah. So then...
And Playful Johnny is fire.
He's cute. So,
coming out in his little robe. Miss, I'm not going to work today.
Oh gosh.
Everyone's gonna be like, oh my god.
This girl is crazy. So they got Mort went home, and so when he got home, Ken was already there and he's sitting out watching the house. And he already had a look around.
But he's asleep because you have to get your little jump scare in there. He walks up to the car and like lightly knocks on it.
Because you think he's dead.
Yeah.
They make it look like he's dead and then he jumps awake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a conversation, as we said, that he was supposed to have with, not Greg and Ken, what's the other guy?
Herb.
Greg and Herb. So then now he...
So now he is searching his house because he is now doing the manly thing of like, Shooter's coming after me. He killed my cat. I need to make sure that I'm safe. And so he comes through the whole house with his fire poker and is doing the whole like hitting doors, like going around the corner quick, like we all do when we're scared, thinking someone's in the room.
At least we do.
I know. Every time I watch it, I'm like, relatable.
Yes.
But then he gets into the bathroom, which is scary because you have your bathtub with the door closed and you've got your mirror and it's like classic 90s styled sliding glass door.
Yes.
And so he goes in there kind of freaking out. He bashes the glass door in
because he hears something.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you're in there. I know you're there, Shooter.
And there's no one there. And then he turns around and there's the mirror. But he thinks someone's in it that's not him, and he hits it.
But there was a little mouse in the bathtub, and mm-hmm. he picked it up and let it go outside. I thought that was
Johnny Depp.
I thought that was so sweet.
It was.
Yes. And this is all the movie, by the way.
Yes.
We'll let you know when we get back to the book. All of this is happening before anything happens in the book. So then we are at Shooter shows up again to talk to him and say, why didn't you get the magazine? You were there. You were at Amy's. I know you were. Which one? How? How do you know he was there? Spooky.
Super spooky. Or he's just a stalker that's watching him.
Yeah. That's probably it. He threatens Amy and then he leaves.
Yes.
So now back to the book. And remember, we just left off with the book where he found out his cat died.
With the note that says you have 3 days.
Yes. So finally, Amy gets through to him. So Amy has been trying to call him, but he's been asleep. So he hasn't gotten any of these messages or rings or whatever. Whatever.
I don't think he has a message answering machine. Or a message machine.
Whatever in the 80s they used to have. The answering machine. And he finds out that their house has completely burned to the ground. Mm-hmm. And so Mort's like, okay, I'll be out there in a second. And so he goes and he drives 2 hours away to go see her.
And the house.
Yeah, and talk to like the fire chief and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and all the, because there's logistics that have to happen since technically it is his house too.
Yes. So on the way, he started having car trouble. And so he stopped, and then he ended up calling his friend, Greg. Mm-hmm. And he told Greg about Shooter and that he killed his cat. The whole conversation he had with Ken in the
movie.
And he also asked him to talk to Tom Greenleaf about Shooter because Tom drove by when Shooter and him were out there.
When he got his bruises on his arm. From Shooter.
Yeah, when Shooter was being violent. He got bruises on his arms and all this sort of stuff. And so I really liked in the book how we found out how much Amy hated being married to someone mm-hmm. famous. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons that their marriage ended was because she hated people coming up to him mm-hmm. asking for autographs. Mm-hmm. She hated people, like, knowing where they were and, like, gawked at them and everything like this. And Mort didn't mind it. He didn't, like, love it.
Yeah.
But he didn't mind it. But he'd grow to be extremely uncomfortable with it because Amy was.
Mm-hmm.
And,
she kept saying that he was basically, he was never there with her, even when he was with her, mm-hmm. because he was torn away with his writing and then with his fans.
Yeah. And so Mort ends up calling his agent Herb.
Oh, damn it.
That's
my favorite murder does this every time because herbs is what you cook with. Herb yeah. is the name.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Herb.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just did what George always does.
That's okay. Herb. So Herb was his agent.
Yeah. I messed that up earlier, but it's
fine. Okay. So Herb's the agent. And he then calls Herb and he's like, I need a copy of our magazine because
this is getting real.
It's getting real.
I'm pretty sure Shooter just burned my house down.
Yes.
But he doesn't say this.
Right. And he knows that his magazine's now burnt.
Which is also super weird. Why are you keeping that from everyone? Why are you not telling people like, hey, there's a guy out for me.
Right.
And my house just burned down.
So he knows that the only copy of his magazine that he had is now burnt. Yeah. So the fire started in his study where all of his things were. So he knows. He was like, but he's battling with himself saying, no, it wasn't Shooter. There's no way he could have driven out here in time and then been back. And it's like he's having this like internal battle.
Killed
with
my
himself.
Cat, drove out here,
yeah.
did this, drove back, talked to me.
So yeah, that's why he's not telling anyone because he's like, no, it can't be him. But, like, obviously, all the signs are pointing to your house start. The fire started where the magazine is and all this mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
And this guy wants your magazine.
Right.
Interesting.
So now, Mort finally got met up with Amy, and then Ted is there, too. And they're talking to the cops about, you know, is there anyone out there that you might hate you and stuff like this. And he lied to the cops and was like, no, no. But at this point, he had already been talking to Amy on the phone about, does the name Shooter sound familiar? Uh-huh. And so he kind of slightly told her about him. So then Amy's like, well, what about that Shooter character? So then Mort says, yeah, you know, I'm not too worried about him.
He's not dangerous.
Yeah. And
he just killed my cat.
Yes. Which he does not say to the cops.
No.
And then they spoke to the insurance people, and Mort was super irritated Ted was even there. He's like, Ted, why are you here? Get out of here. Like, leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And
this happens in the movie, too, and I love that scene between him and Ted. It does. Quit being a rubbernecker.
Yes. And so then, so all of this also happened in the movie, like Bree just said. And then, but in the movie, he also talked a little bit more about
the plagiarism.
And she's like, is this another, like, issue with how, like, what happened before plagiarizing? And he's like, no.
I wish the movie talked more about the whole plagiarism bit that the book does, because the book gets deep into it. And
yeah, it was actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Backstory. I liked this backstory.
Surprisingly, it was backstory I liked,
yes,
too.
Yes, because it involved Johnny.
Basically.
We find out that Ted comes up to him and is like, you know, come on. Like, let's knock it off. We're both adults here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mort's like, where are you from, Teddy? Mm-hmm. And we find out in the book he's from Shooter's Knob, and in the movie he's from Shooter's Bay. It's not a big difference, but the key is Shooter.
Shooter.
So now Mort's like,
oh, Ted is John Shooter.
Yes. He's hired this guy. He said his name is Shooter. He's like going through all this stuff in his head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then Mort decides, okay, you know what? I got to go home. He goes home, and this is when he starts beating the crap out of all the stuff in his house. So he's like, there's someone in my house, and he starts calling out for him just like he did in the movie, and he breaks the bathroom stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, Shooter then calls and starts talking to him, and that's when he threatens to hurt Amy in the book is right now.
In the book.
In the book is right now. He already did that in the movie. It's my French.
Wow, you went from French to like Jamaican. In the movie.
That's why I'm not hired for accents, you guys. Cannot do them.
Oh, we forgot to say that in the movie, Ken's role has been Greg. So Mort asked Ken to talk to Tom Greenleaf about Shooter and the whole him driving by and seeing them. So Mort gets home and he's upset because he kind of thought that Ken was going to be there. I think at this point, Mort's a little bit spooked. So he kind of like, it's kind of sad because he has to go home alone. If he had met me, I would have been there. But he didn't.
You still want to be with Mort?
Johnny Depp, hell yeah. Ooh, braces Johnny Depp, yeah.
Oh no.
So he's upset that Ken's not there because he kind of wanted someone to be there to like make sure he was protected. So he calls him and they talk about what Tom said to Ken. And basically Tom keeps changing his story and can't get his story straight and says he wasn't there, but then is like, oh, but maybe I did see him, blah, blah, blah. Mort then decides to tell Ken about his theory about Ted being somehow related to Shooter because he's from Shooter's Bay. And then Ken's like, well, the good news is I've got the magazine headed your way. Should be there tomorrow after 3. Everything's about to go down.
And so then instead of that happening, because he kind of already talked to Greg about.
This is really confusing. I really hate the book for doing this, or book movie for doing this.
It's just so out of order, you guys.
I think that's the worst part of it, too. So, like, it's pretty spot on, but a lot of things happen way before they're supposed to and way after they're supposed to. And
yeah.
Why make up one character when there's two characters you could put in?
So I hope you're following along, because I realize this is a very unorganized story. It's organized if you're following one. But trying to compare two of them that don't go together.
I hope you're following along because it's very unorganized. I mean, it's not if you're following along.
No, if you're listening to one, I said. So like if we just shared the movie, you know, that might have been easy. Or the book. And then we say, that happened, that happened, that didn't happen, that didn't happen. But it might have been the way to go for this one. But we're halfway done now. Over halfway done. So stick with us. Okay. So Mort calls Herb, his agent, and starts talking about the magazine. And he's like, you have to get me this magazine. I need it now. Like, he burnt down my house. I have no magazine. I have no proof. It's like, now. And Herb's like, yeah. Okay, I will get you the actual copy. A photocopy won't work, Mort said. So he's working on getting the real copy. And that was the book. And then Mart is starting to go crazy. He thinks he's seeing Shooter everywhere. And Greg then calls and he said, and this is when we get the same conversation that he had with Ken, where he's like, he saw, Tom Greenleaf said he saw him on Mort on the road, but it was Mort was there alone. And then both of them went to go check on Tom, but Greg said, nope, he's safe. He's sleeping. Mort went home to get some sleep. And that's when we find Shooter's hat was left on Mort's back porch.
Oh. So at this point in the movie now, we have, again, the movie, Mort and Amy are going through a bad divorce. They're not fully divorced. Mort doesn't want to separate from her just yet, which is so, I'm like, dude. Do it. Like, what?
He loves her still.
I get it, but also, how many years has it been? But anyway, so Ted comes to visit Mort, or I air quote visit Mort, when really he's there to be like, hey, I need you to sign these divorce papers. Basically, this is when Mort gets all pissy.
And he starts,
like, accusing him about being Shooter.
Yes. And Ted's like, what? I just need you to sign these papers.
Like, I just want you out of my life. Yeah. Like, can you sign these papers? And Mort's like, sure, Shooter.
He's so confused. Poor Ted. So then, now.
You're saying Mort was so confused.
Oh, no.
And you're like, poor. And I was like, yeah, poor Mort.
Not quite. So now we are back in Bookland. And Mort went to the diner and he saw a man named Sonny. And Sonny was chatting. And that's when Mort found out Tom is not doing well. And then Greg didn't even show up to their meeting. He went to the diner to meet with Greg and talk about what he needs to do. And then Greg ends up not showing up. And he's trying to convince himself, you know what? No, it's okay. Something just happened. Like, something came up. It's fine. So he's battling himself again.
Crazy going. Yeah. Tom's not doing well.
Yeah.
But then he starts coming up with scenarios. And he's like, Shooter has them. Shooter has them in the back of his car. And he's tied up. And he can't get to the phone. Or he forced someone to call and say that he was just not coming to work and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And so then he decides to go home and, like, just try and calm down. And that's where he sees
the hat.
Shooter's hat. And he decides to put it on. And I'm just going to say, his hair, it covered his hair in the movie, or in the book. But in the movie, Johnny's hair is blonde and luscious and long.
It's too beautiful to cover. You don't want that covered. Could you imagine?
That would be weird, covering all Johnny's hair.
I know that Johnny's good looking even with his short hair. But now that you've had your long hair throughout this whole movie, don't put a hat on and cover it.
Exactly.
But this is also, at this point in the book, he's now put the hat on and he starts talking to himself and kind of like going around in circles about things. This doesn't happen in the movie until the twist. So it's kind of hard for me to talk about it totally and fully right now because it's a key part of the twist. But should I just say it?
Yeah, just say it.
Okay. So Mort puts the hat on in the movie, and this is when it all clicks for him that he's Shooter, guys.
What?
What?
So this whole time he's been chasing this bad guy, and really it's him. It's a Fight Club scenario, and I wasn't expecting it when I saw this movie. But so in the book, though, he puts it on and he just starts talking to himself, and he's like, why did Shooter want me to put this on? This makes no sense. Like, what is going on here? And in the movie, that's kind of how he gets to the realization that it's him, because he's like, why did Shooter want me to put this on? That's kind of weird, but it also fits perfectly well on your head. So why is that?
But in the book, as of right now, he just put the hat on.
Yeah, he just put the hat on, and we still have quite a bit to go before the twist is revealed.
Yes. So he still, now we've confused you even more. In the movie, in the book, he has no idea that he
is. In the movie, yet. This also has not happened quite yet.
Yes. So he just has the hat on now, and he's still Mort. He's like, Herb tries to call him, and he's like, okay, I got a magazine that's being sent to you. And then Shooter calls, and Mort lies to him and says, oh, no, sorry. Herb asks Mort, did you speak to the cops like I told you to about Shooter? And he's like, yeah, I did. So Mort kept in the book. He's now at the part that has already happened, or we already talked about. He keeps imagining that Greg and Tom are killed. Oh, yeah, so he went through his battle of like, no, they're fine. Now he's like, oh, my gosh, they're killed. What if they're killed? And he decided to go call the cops, but felt like then they might suspect him. So he's, like, going crazy in his head. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I can't call the cops. They'll think it's me. And then Shooter then calls Mort and says, okay, why don't you go to the last place we spoke at?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, my gosh. And so Mort went down and he found Tom and Greg that were killed with things from his house. So, like,
from Mort's house.
Mort's house, yes. So, like, the screwdriver and
The axe
and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it says Mort passed out for 3 hours.
I wonder why. Wasn't to turn into Shooter or anything.
But in the movie, right after we talk about the divorce with Ted.
The divorce from Amy with Ted.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going for.
Okay. So Mort is on his way from talking to Ted about the divorce papers and probably filling up his car with gas because they were at a gas station. And when he gets home, Shooter's there leaning on his car waiting for him. And he's basically like accusing him of like, you don't have the magazine, you're lying. Like, how dare you? You just fess up. You've plagiarized my story. Own up to it. And Mort's like, no. The magazine came today. It hasn't come yet. The magazine comes today at 3. You just need to give me more time. You'll have your proof then. So then Shooter's basically like just trying to get in his head and be like, you don't got the story.
You can't have the story. There was no story.
I love his accent.
I know.
And so then I almost said, so then Johnny goes. So then at this point, Ken was also supposed to meet up with him because Ken had told him the night before that he would come into town so that he could go and talk with Mort to Tom Greenleaf and like get the story straight based off of all the crazy mumbo jumbo he had said the night before. He was like, we need to get a story straight. Let's me and you talk to him. I'll meet you in there and then we can go and I don't want to say roughhouse him, but it kind of seemed like it. And so Mort's getting anxious because Ken's not there. He's like, what the heck? I need Ken. We need to figure this out. Shooter keeps showing up. I've got to get that magazine and we got to figure this out. But Ken's not there. And so then he goes.
This is basically the Greg didn't show up thing.
Yeah, it's the Greg didn't show up thing. But then he, in Mort trying to find Ken, he finds Ken and Tom in Tom's Jeep.
Yeah, just like in the...
like in the book, but...
but unlike the book, Mort passes out in the book. In the movie, he decides to try and destroy the evidence.
Yeah, he takes... well, Mort does it in the book, too, after he's passed out. Oh, he passes out, and then he wakes up, and he gets rid of the evidence. But right now, Mort's like, sleep? Who needs sleep? I'm going to get rid of... because the car is also, like, out in the open.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised no one else had seen it at this point. So he takes the screwdriver out, and he, like, is touching things with his jacket, and, like, ew. And he's like, everything's from my house, but it sucks. And then he runs with the car to go and drop it in the lake. I really did just act like I was running the car.
You're like, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. So then, that's what happened. And then in the book...
we've decided that I'm talking about the movie and you're talking about the book and you still do it?
Yes. So then in the book, he runs home because he's waiting for Shooter's phone call. Because Shooter's like, I'm going to call you this afternoon. And he's like, oh my gosh, I've been asleep for 3 hours. Like,
what if I missed his call?
Yeah, he's going to murder everybody. And so he runs home. And so
he's going to murder everybody, but I still haven't told the call.
Yes, exactly. So then Amy calls. Because he's like, picks it up. He's like, oh my gosh, it's Shooter. And it's Amy. And he's like, oh my gosh. But then they just talk about everything, like why the divorce happened and everything like that.
The plagiarism.
The plagiarism and all that sort of stuff. And then he said, okay, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. So he's like, okay, Amy, I just got to go to the bathroom because he's trying to get off the phone. And then he actually did have to go to the bathroom. I've noticed that with Stephen King, that he makes his characters go to the bathroom in every book. I just find it so interesting because most books, like, you know, the hero of the story...
yeah.
It's just like a, you assume they do bodily functions, but they don't tell you. But in Stephen King's books, he always says, oh, he needed to go pee. So he went and went pee.
Well, I think with Misery, it was kind of needed because he was tied to the bed. Well, tied to the bed. He was trapped. This one, I just think it's hilarious because it was like, he had to go to the bathroom because he had the shits, guys. It wasn't like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. It was, oh my gosh, my tummy's grumbling.
It's just so interesting. I've never read a book where the author is
probably to like it's more realistic. Humanize the character. Yeah.
It is. But I just think it's funny.
Good job, Steven.
Yep. So then Shooter called while he was going to the bathroom. So Mort has to run out with his pants pulled down. It's just so... I don't know. I just find it...
I kind of wish I had to see Johnny Depp.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Goodness me. So, Mort let him know the magazine is coming tomorrow. And Shooter said, okay, fine. We're going to meet at your house to look at it. And Mort's like, oh, and then Mort asked, well, did you burn my house down? And Shooter said, no, I didn't. Because they're meeting at Mort's cabin house. And he asked if you burned the house down.
Mm-hmm.
In case you didn't follow along with that.
In the movie, after he's pushed the car off the ledge, he went back into the house to fall asleep. So Amy calls him and the phone is what wakes him up. And instead of getting a talk like we got with Amy in the book about why they got divorced and why they fell apart and all this, we get conversation about their miscarriage.
That never happened in the book.
Yeah. No, she's crying about the baby and what could have been. And Mort's like, Jesus, Amy, no, like, this is not something we should be talking about right now. Why are you talking about this? Mm-hmm. Like, are you not in love with Ted anymore? What's going on with Ted? Like, why is this on your brain?
Whereas then in the movie, or gosh, in the book, Amy had called again, and they're talking about previous breakdowns he had, about when he was working on a book, and all this sort of stuff, and then spoke about divorce more and all that stuff. And then Mort had another dream now. She's like, okay, I'm done talking to you, Amy. He goes to sleep. And in this other dream, he's in a classroom, and this time he realized that John Kempner was the real person he went to college with. So now things are starting to puzzle piece together. So there we find the name John. He was a person he went to college with, and Kempner was a freshman. And
don't forget Shooter from Ted.
Yes. So Kempner was a freshman in his college class, but he was always a better writer than Mort was. And Mort kept sending in his writings to magazines, and they kept getting denied. And finally, Mort sent one of Kempner's in, and it was accepted. So he plagiarized it because he put his own name under it. And a few years later, he receives mail from them, and he was so scared that he was caught, he contemplated suicide. Mm-hmm. And, like, if that's not guilt.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Jeez Louise.
So it ended up them just writing saying, we really miss you. Because he used to write in all the time trying to submit stuff. And now that he did a good one and he doesn't write anything back.
They're like, what?
Yes, come right. Back. Come on. Did we do anything? Please write more stories. And then he woke up from this memory. And then he
went from this memory. This dream.
Memory dream. It was a dream memory. It was a true thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then he went to the post office because he was going to go pick up his
magazine. I thought you were going to say mail. So then, in the movie, Mort has now gone to the post office. He has gone to the post office to get the magazine. I love, it's in the book very well too, when he gets the magazine. And he's just so paranoid at this point that he's having a conversation with the girl who's working behind the desk. And he keeps hearing, it's the old, like, trickeroo where it's, because I know what you did. And what? I said they'd kill me if you did.
because he wasn't supposed to have UPS or someone.
FedEx delivered to the post office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she was making a joke of it, but he heard her say,
I know what you did. And at this point, he doesn't know him yet.
In either book or movie. Yeah. So he's like, what are you saying?
Yes.
So then he's leaving, and the cop is like, hey, Mort, can I talk to you? And Mort's like, no, I'm busy. I gotta go. And he gets in his car, and he drives away. So then he gets home, and he opens his package because he wants to check the magazine. And he goes to the table of contents and checks where his short story would be. And he flips there, and his story is cut out.
And all of this happened in the book, too, except the police officer part. That didn't happen in the book. And in the book, the table of contents was also cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So, covering his tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the book, all the realization hits in that he is Shooter, which is what we talked about. 30 minutes ago.
With the hat, because in the movie the key thing that makes him realize it is when he puts the hat on, whereas in the book that wasn't his trigger. His trigger was not having the magazine.
Right. But I love that in the, this is kind of sort of around the same time.
Yeah.
So he's figured it out now also in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I love in the movie they have two Johnnies.
Mm-hmm.
So they have him talking to himself, but instead of just talking to himself in his head, they have two Johnnies talking to each other.
Well, it's great too because you see Mort, and then you see Shooter, and like you see the innocence in this guy, and you see the evil in the other guy, and two Johnnies on one screen. How can you go wrong?
Exactly.
You can't. Oh my gosh, it's like in Pirates of Caribbean 3 when there's 50 of them on the screen.
I've not seen that movie in so long. I need to watch all when the pirates. When he's at? Dude, I haven't.
Davy Jones' Locker.
I don't think I've seen it. Maybe I've seen it once since we stopped talking.
That's the best one!
I don't think I've really watched any of them. In freaking at least 10 years.
Oh, you need a.
I do. I need a pirate marathon. Maybe I'll start that as soon as I'm done with.
In At World's End, there's like 6 of them because he has to man the ship in Davy Jones' locker even though he's on sand.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember. Okay. Amy is like, okay, I gotta go talk to Mort. Like, he's acting crazy. Something's up. I need to go talk to him. And she tells Ted, I gotta do it on my own in the book. She says it in the movie too, but Ted doesn't listen to her.
No.
And so when Amy gets there in the book, he is full Shooter now. He's like,
oh. Which almost makes him look way more hotter.
I was talking about the book, but yes.
Oh, in the movie. Sorry.
That's okay.
I've got Johnny on the brain.
In the movie.
In the movie, she comes and that basically happens. But now Shooter is telling him, you have to fix the ending of my story. Like, you haven't done my story justice. And he's like, well, how do I fix your ending? And he's like, well, you have to shoot her. But now I get to talk about the thing that I like. So in the book, way at the beginning, I kept this secret from you guys so that I wouldn't spoil anything.
We did.
Then we did. But we did it kind of at the right time. Sort of. Mort reads Shooter's story. And he's like, yes, this is very similar to mine, but the ending is definitely different. And in the ending, I guess this is still a little bit early for this. I still want to tell you right now so that I can talk about it at the right time. At the ending of Shooter's book, he kills his wife, and then he grows a crop full of corn on top of where he's buried her. And that's all I'll say about that.
A little tease.
Stay. Yeah.
Well, in the book, hold on. Oh. In the book, it's now following Amy's point of view. So it kind of switches from Mort's to Amy's. And she's like walking through this house and like think papers are all shuffled everywhere. And like,
the house is in a disarray.
Yes. And then Shooter, aka Mort, starts chasing her and he stabs her with the screwdriver in the calf. Ugh. All this happened in the movie too.
Yeah.
And he tries to finally kill her.
And this is when things differ immensely.
In the book, Mort gets shot and dies by some random cop that we have not heard about at all.
Until this point.
Yes. In the movie,
Johnny wins. Mort does not die.
You heard that? The bad guy wins. And Brie likes it better. So do I. I can't really give her.
So good.
So Mort ends up killing Amy. And then Ted, who...
And Ted, who has also come to try and save Amy, it comes running through, and this is before Amy dies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Amy's sitting there screaming, like, Ted, no, no. And Mort's standing behind the door with a shovel, waiting for Ted to come through so he can whack him in the head with it. So that's what he does. So he kills Amy and Ted.
Yep. And then he buries them.
Yeah.
In his corn yard.
In his yard so that he can grow corn.
That's the relation. I just gave it away. I hope you were not sad about it.
But I do love that. I love because in the book, we don't get that because in the book, Mort dies. But in the movie, we get that. And that's like one of my favorite things that comes from the book is that key note.
Yes.
Because Mort fixed the ending. But guys, okay, so I read Secret Window a long time ago. I also now realize why I only read it once. I read it, like, after I had seen the movie probably, like, 30 times because my dad read it and was like, oh, I love this. So I was like, I should do it, too. So I read it. I thought I enjoyed it. And I did enjoy it up until a certain point.
Till Johnny leaves.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're at the, like, we're talking about the book. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, and I'm reading, I'm reading it. I'm ahead of her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so did Mort die in the, or how did I word it?
You said, did Mort not win in the book?
Oh yeah.
I looked at her and I was like,
no, I said, did Mort not win? And you're like, he did in the movie. And I was like, yeah, but, and then I trailed off realizing she had no idea. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just ruined another one for her because I ruined last week's misery for her. And now I ruined another one. So I am not allowed to talk about books to Brie until she's finished them.
What's hilarious is, guys, I read the book.
Right? That's why I thought I could talk about it, but I could not, apparently.
I disliked the ending so much that I blocked it out.
because the book's not even over yet. There's still more.
There's still so much more.
I wouldn't say so much, but there's more that Bree has completely mentally blocked out.
Because I really like the... I love that. I love Crazy Mort. Crazy Mort being there is just... It makes sense to me.
So now...
Should I just finish off the movie?
Yeah, so okay. We're at a point now where...
Book and movie have differed so much. Completely
differed, so...
We're going to finish the movie now.
Okay.
And then get back to the book. Mm-hmm. So, Mort has now buried their bodies under the corn, and there's a beautiful shot where you get, like, a pan up with the corn. And then you see Mort in his town, just chilling, grocery shopping, and he's got the girl from the post office in front of him, which... In the scene that you just saw her in, I didn't think there was, like, that much sexual chemistry. So I'm like, why are you hitting on her now, dude? But anyway, you can tell that he's making the town uneasy. But his hair is cut. He's dyed. He's touched up his blonde, so there's no brown roots. He's got new glasses instead of thick-framed one. He's got the skinny-wired ones. And he's got braces. And so he... In the grocery store, tries to make small talk with the post office lady. I almost said UPS lady. And she's just wigged out by him. She's, like, not talking to him. And he, one of my favorite lines in the movie is, I got braces.
Yeah. He points to his braces, all happy.
And she's like, and, like, trying to get away from him. So then he buys his butter and salt and I think something else. For corn making. I can't remember what. And then we see him at his house and you just see there's pots of corn everywhere. And he's got a plate of corn sitting next to him and he's at his desk typing up a new book. And he's got so much corn everywhere. He's eating up the wazoo and the cops come to talk to him because everyone's like creeped out by him. And they're basically... Like, we know you did it, but we don't have proof.
Yep.
And then, he says a story has to have its ending because he's talking about his new book that he's writing. But he basically says the thing that John Shooter said to him when he was like, I need you to fix the end of my story.
And he takes a bite of corn.
Yeah.
And the movie's over.
But also has people who have had braces.
You can't bite corn like yeah. that. And he's just like, nom, nom, nom.
It's true.
I always think about that, too. I'm like, I tried that. I could not do that.
No. It's annoying. You gotta pull the corn out forever.
Yeah.
All right. So, but in the book. Forever. Guys, forever. So, in the book, now we're just, he just got shot. And we're figuring out, it's a few months later, and Amy and Ted decide to go visit the man that shot Mort. And Amy told them a story about how she saw Sunny.
It's not the random cop. It's the dude.
What dude?
The investment dude. The, like, lawyer dude.
Oh, yeah. Rewind. You guys, I'm sorry. It wasn't a cop who shot him. It was the insurance guy.
Thank you, yeah. Insurance investment dude.
Yeah. He came and then...
He basically wanted to check up on them.
Yeah. And so Amy was talking to him about how she saw Sunny, so the kid painting or cleaning the house. Tom waved to Mort alone, but then when he looked in his mirror, he's like he saw a ghost. So he's like, but Tom doesn't want to say he's going crazy because his wife died of dementia or something like that.
Yeah.
His wife died of dementia and he didn't want to like go down the same path. And so he was like, no, I'm not going to tell anybody of that. Like, I didn't see a ghost. Like, Mort was just there by himself.
As someone who's read Stephen King, a part of me thought that was The Shining, too.
Oh. And then she also said how when she was cleaning up his stuff, she threw Shooter's hat away and it landed, like,
the rim landed flat.
Yes. But then when she came back to throw more stuff away, the hat was upside down and there was a note inside from Shooter. And it's like, in my opinion... This was all a very believable story with schizophrenia and everything like that.
Yeah.
Until we got to this point. And I'm like, now we're talking about ghosts and upside down hats. I know. If at all it was hinted throughout the rest of the book, I'd be like, okay, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But with it just like the last chapter, oh, then all this like paranormal stuff happened. It was just kind of odd to me. I was like, okay.
Okay. I see it.
That was my thoughts.
Okay.
But anyways, we did it.
Woo.
Woo. Hopefully that wasn't too confusing.
A mess, guys.
Gosh, we're going to figure out better ways because I'm sure this is not going to be the only book movie that does this. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Because that was confusing for us too. So we're going to figure it out. Don't worry.
We say that, but literally Wuthering Heights. And that one sounded fine.
Well, you might cut that little sorry out then. Okay, we're on the cast. I wonder who we're going to talk about.
No freaking clue.
So IMDb gave 20 members of society credit. I said members. I had to figure out how to tie that in without messing up.
Members of society.
Okay. 20 people credit for this movie. First and foremost, Mart Rainey, who played by Johnny Depp.
Wow, you want to redo that?
I like messed it up and then caught myself and then messed it up and then caught myself again. Johnny Depp played Mort Rainey. You know what I have to do?
You're about to say played by Mort.
I know. I just need to write plays.
There you go. Plays. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I'll just read it. This dash that I have between Johnny Depp dash Mort Rainey. My brain cannot comprehend what that means, apparently. Even though I typed it up. Perfect cast.
Mm-hmm. Best. He is in a lot more horror movies. What am I saying? I was going to say, I wish he was in more horror movies, but he is.
You know what's funny, though, is when I was reading the book, I tried really hard not to imagine the movie. Mm-hmm. I tried.
But he's just too perfect.
He is too perfect. But, like, initial reading, like, trying to really get my head out of it, I wouldn't imagine Johnny with his long hair and, like that. Yeah. I imagine more of, like, a sad little
baby Johnny
man.
Oh, sad little man.
But
my sad Johnny, little man is always Johnny.
Johnny did such a great job. It's like he played it perfectly.
Oh my gosh.
Like I imagine Johnny at the twist part.
Yeah.
And like that yeah. part was perfect, but at the beginning of like,
well, because he's also like, he's too hot.
Yes, maybe that's what it is. He just seems
they need to grunge him up a bit more.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that's what it is.
And I think they tried to with his robe with his rips in it, uh-huh. but
he's yeah.
too beautiful.
But no, I wouldn't cast anyone else.
No.
Yes.
No. If you would.
Get out of this podcast. Yeah. You're not allowed to do
you
it
You already
anymore.
Sided with Amber Heard once.
No, I didn't. Gosh. All right. Well.
Okay. Okay. Next, you're not going to give his name a shot?
Let's see, you did it funny in one of our episodes.
John Turturro?
Turturro, like... It was, you wanted him to be Quirrell.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say, I wanted him to be Quirrell based off of this movie. Oh. So
he played John Shooter, by the way.
Yeah, I think he did perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, his accent was so fun. Yeah. I just wanted
you
to, like...
You stole my story.
So good. Maria Bello played Amy Rainey. Amy Rainey. I would love to have a name that rhymes. Ali Bobali.
Change your last name.
Yes.
Bobali. Or find someone out there.
Okay.
I think she's...
I didn't really like her, but I mean, it's because I didn't like Amy. It's not because I didn't like her.
Yeah. That's my problem with her.
So I think she did fine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Timothy Hutton mm-hmm. plays Ted Miller.
And same thing. I just didn't like Ted, but
yeah,
he played him right.
My problem, he played him perfectly. And now when I see him in other things, he's always Ted. So I always think of Johnny telling him to stop rubbernecking. So
perfect.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, Charles S. Dutton played Ken Karsh. Karsh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which was Greg in the book.
Greg and Herb.
herb. Sprinkle some herbs on them.
Greg with some herbs. I wish they put Greg in Herb.
Yeah.
He's okay for what
they gave him.
Yeah, but why not give me Greg and other dude? Yeah. I'm not trying. Other guy.
So which do you prefer, book or movie? We both watched the movie before we read the book.
Before we saw the book.
Yes. It's not even late. I don't know what's happening.
Movie.
Yes.
100%. Johnny Depp. Duh.
I just like how they did the twist and everything. And it was like more entertaining to watch than read. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they kept so much of the same detail.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you have to read the book because it has more detail.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was, missing anything.
The only main thing it was missing was the
plagiarism
detail.
Yeah. Which would have been nice, but I think if they put that in, you would have immediately been like, oh.
I mean, that was right before we found out.
Yeah, that's true.
But they wouldn't have had their cool find out moment.
Their beautiful find out moment.
I guess they could have rearranged it and put that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So yeah, that would have been cool to have that part. But other than that, I think the movie
blows it out of the water.
Yep. That's it. We did it.
Woo!
Yay! Okay, you'll never hear Brie talk about Johnny Depp again.
Just, in your dreams.
Just kidding. if only. The woodpecker cries, the park on the moon was as soft as the skies. Gosh, you guys got to comment if you know what that's from.
I don't even know what that's from.
You will soon.
Oh. Is it Pet Sematary?
No.
Oh. Okay. Did you want to say that our experiment has been successful?
Oh, yeah. So our experiment has been successful. It'll be interesting how you edit that one. Yeah, so every movie that we've watched first, besides a couple of the Harry Potters for Brie,
we
have liked the movie more than the book.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So next week, we're still on our Stephen King kick. And this time, we're hitting a classic.
Cujo.
With Cujo.
I'm excited because I watched this forever ago and I hated it.
Guys, I love puppy dogs. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel.
We're actually about to go watch it.
We are. Oh, no. Let's see how this goes. Also, reminder, Cameron's Cozy Socks. Donate all month.
Yeah, we'll post on our Instagram. She's putting up a heart emoji to you. Or not even an emoji. That's her hands.
heart hands. Yes. Thanks, guys. You'll be keeping someone's feet warm this winter.
Not just your own.
Yep. You can also follow Cameron's Cozy Socks on Facebook. Okay, guys.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
And if you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us 5 beautiful stars.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript and Instagram at Offscript Podcast 21.
Shout outs to Ashley McGee for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And our one and only Brie for our editing.
Good job.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.